the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Welcome and a big thank you for joining us here on episode 5 of the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry with my co-host, Bernie. Bernie, how's your week been, buddy?
Good, mate. And last time I spoke to you, you had a gobful of the bat flu thrown in your direction. Did it end up sticking? Or?
So to explain, what happened was I was called into the Army Reserves last Tuesday night, told that we all had to turn up because it was maximum attendance. I turn up, there's only one corporal there. He's like, no one else is coming in, go home. And then later that corporal messages me and said, I'm now in isolation because I've had a close contact. Oh. And it was psychosomatic because I started to get a sore throat that night. You know,
Doesn't it mess with you?
Absolutely it does. However, it was a couple of days later, I suddenly realized, because he asked me directly, he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I got a message from one of the other corporals and I actually brought it up and I handed him my phone. And he took my phone, read the message, and then he handed it back to me.
It wasn't all over
until a couple of days later that I actually realized, oh, wait a second. He actually touched an item of mine. However, he's clear. And yeah, I started to imagine I had a sore throat that night.
Yep.
But I got up and I exercised the next day and I was fine. And yeah,
so you're still dodging? You're still dodging the old COVID?
I believe so. I think I'm healthy. I did hit it with a lot of beer. So I think that sort of took care of it.
I've been told rum. I've been told rum kills it.
I haven't heard that one. I'm not a rum drinker, so
no, me either. But I might have to start.
I might be in trouble.
It makes you go angry. Apparently, rum. Apparently, rum makes you go angry. I was cranky, and it's become the new tequila. It's the tequila of the modern generation. Back in our day, you know, if you got it stuck in the tequila, you knew that it was going to be a weird and wonderful night. But nowadays, apparently, rum means you're punching on.
I can remember rum was always go juice. I remember there was a guy I knew who his local pub wouldn't serve him rum because he always gets drunk and essentially wants to fight people. So, yeah, I've always known rum to be a very aggressive drink.
I always dodged it. I used to drink Southern Comfort back in the day.
Oh, wow. Too sweet for me.
Yeah, it was. And until it was too sweet on the way out, and you never forget. Sometimes you sometimes you drink yourself silly and you're just like, I can never, ever drink that again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a big night on vodka about 6 months ago, and, you know, I was vomiting the next day when I was volunteering for the SES behind the truck. Like, it was really terrible. And I haven't touched spirit since. So, yeah.
You're really taking on the army mentality, aren't you? Like, you're really embracing the drunken grunt, you know, stereotype of an army guy.
Mate, all in. One in, all in. That's the way it goes.
So it's gotta be done.
I went away with the army to Cairns for COVID assist, and which is technically a deployment. And really, all I did was sit on a hotel floor and watch Netflix and occasionally tell someone to get back in their room. But we were staying at a naval base up there, and the Navy boys and us went out for a night one night. Holy smoke, man. It was just so messy. Oh, I don't remember getting home. It was so bad, but good at the same time. So
it's nothing like Private Benjamin, is what you're trying to say.
yeah, pretty much, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. So, yes. Oh, yeah. However, speaking of fun, of course, the trial matches are coming up, and so we're going to get our first look at the Eels on the paddock. Of course, we've got the women's team as well this year. So we've got two sets of opportunities for us to claim the Vickies at the end of the season. Excuse me.
Oh, COVID. Oh.
No, don't be silly. So let's get into the trials, mate. What's happening and when is it all going down?
All right. So basically what we've got is a Sunday, February the 20th at 6 p.m. at CommBank Stadium now. So that's no longer Paris Stadium, or it's Bank West. It's now Combank Stadium. So I think that they've, I think they're a bit cheeky throwing that one in, because I hate Commonwealth Bank, and you know, now all of a sudden I've got to support the stadium. But anyway, we'll go where the dollars are. But we're playing at Combank Stadium Sunday, February 20th against St. George. So, and then the week after that, Saturday, February 26th, we're playing the Panthers at Bluebet Stadium. So basically, I just wanted to throw it out there, the validity of the trial game. Now, it's been brought up for years and years, and it seems to always come down to one thing, and that's if you lose one of your key players for the season in a trial game. If we were to lose the King or Moses in a trial game, how stupid was it to play them in a trial game? But if you can get away with it and they can get out and have a bit of a run, have a bit of a kick and not get injured, I suppose that's where you, you know, and youngsters come through. Your youngsters get a chance to shine on the big stage. So I do like the trial games, but the injury factor is always very scary.
Would there be any benefit to a touch set of trial games?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the fans would buy into that. I can't even see in that helping the players out, but it would definitely prevent us from getting hurt. Maybe the fingers would get broken. I don't know. They'd find a way to get hurt or pull hamstrings or something, but that would have happened anyway. The other thing I dislike greatly is when, I think it was 2 years ago, we had our last trial game down at Bega. I can't remember if we had any last year because the COVID and everything. Probably did. The last one I went to was at Bega, and it was Panthers versus Eels. And then the following week, it was like first week of the regular season, we played the Panthers. And I, that's what I disliked. I didn't like going and playing the Panthers, having a muck around game with them. And then you come back and, you know, oh, we're playing for keeps this time. So we're not playing the Dragons until round four. So I'm all right with that. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm gonna head down and check that one out. They generally put on all the lower grades as well. Now, I'm not sure what they're doing with the girls' games.
So, yeah, when you actually look at the NRL app, they are televising the female games on Channel 9 and on Foxtel. So I'm really pumped. Any extra chance I get to see the Eels play, yeah. I don't care if it's male or female, I'm totally there.
And we have a brilliant team as well. So, you know, it makes it easier to follow if your team's winning straight up. There's six teams, I think, in the females competition. So I reckon we're going to get some good games. I'm glad that they didn't just pad it out and just go, all right, we're just, you know, we want to have 10 teams and whatever. And then you get some teams that just can barely kick the football. If you've seen any of the women play, they're hardcore. Like they really get stuck in and they take it serious. So going to have to schedule in both games for the weekend. Yeah, always you know, mark out for the para games. We're gonna have to mark out for the girls as well, so it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm totally behind them, and I'm very excited about extra footy. It starts before the NRL season starts, so how can you be upset about that?
And there's more chance of us getting in the finals, I think, as you said before.
Statistically, yes.
So the second trial game, we're up against the Panthers. I think it's good. I've always been of the opinion that, you know, the harder the games, you know, when they say steel sharpens steel, or is it iron sharpens iron, or
something sharpens iron.
It's like, that makes sense to me. So if you stick us up against the best, we're going to come into the competition with a head full of steam. Our first game of the season up against the Titans. Now, they're a danger team, I think, because they've got some powerful forwards. They got Tino, and of course they got Fifita, so they've got some strength up the front. So that's by no, and it's a home game for us as well. So theoretically, we should win that one. So I'm kind of curious to know how we're going to go straight up against a game that we probably should win, inverted commas, and it'll really show where our head's at for the season. I think these upcoming games.
Yeah, well, pretty early on, we're up against the Storm, I believe. Game three, we're up against them. So I think it's Titans, Sharks, then the Storm. So we sort of get 2 weeks, particularly if you actually add in the Panthers pre-match. That's a pretty good run-up to go up against the Storm, I think.
I agree. The problem with the Storm game is it's an away game for us. So we've got to go down there. But I can't see the Storm. I'm going on record here to say the Storm's going to miss the top eight this year.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. They're going to miss the top eight. I think Jesse Bromwich left. He said that he's leaving at the end of the year as well.
He signed with the Dolphins, I believe.
He's going to the Dolphins. Now, I can't be a hypocrite here by saying, oh, they're getting all these players leaving, because we're getting a lot of players leaving. But I honestly think that their players are leaving because something's going on there that they're not happy with. Whereas I think the Parramatta players, they want to, I think they're just making a cash grab, you know? Like, you're offering me more money and more years on my contract, so I'm going to go there. Whereas the Storm, I'm pretty sure that the whole Brandon Smith, he really exposed something there, and Munster, and something's going on there. So I don't think they're going to even make top eight. You heard it here first. Maybe I'll say top six. Maybe already backpedaling. Top six. So yeah, they won't make the top six. They'll be seventh or eighth, and probably knock us out in round one of the finals. Yeah. Anyway, so I hate the Storm. As you may not have been able to pick up by now, I'm not a big fan of them. So I am looking forward to the day that they just crumble, and hopefully we're strong at the time. So
The Parramatta's podcast, because fuck Melbourne.
That's game three, and then we've got the Dragons. So it's kind of like we go from our trial game, circle round, and then round five we've got the Titans again. And that's another thing I really dislike. I think we should play every team once before we start playing teams for a second time. Like, we never used to do that. It's really become a thing the last 10 years or so that we've just... You can play the same four teams the first, 10 weeks. It gets a bit boring. And not only that, if you muscle up and you manage to find a way to beat them, you play them again in a couple of weeks. It's kind of like, we beat you 2 weeks ago. Like, I think it's very dangerous. And you generally lose one of the two games if you play within close proximity. So... Don't know. So Dragons, Titans, and then into the West Tigers and the Knights. So it's I don't know. I think the Storm's really the only team up there that I'm thinking can do a number on us. And we have the Panthers in round nine. So I'm going to go on record as well with the Panthers that they're not going to be the force that everyone thinks they are. Especially think that they're going to have a bit of an ego problem going into the year. I think that they Winning the grand final, it's not going to do them any favours for this year. So you'd obviously take it every year, but I think they're an ego team, and I think they've got overinflated ego, and I think it's gonna cost them this year. So,
I hope you're wrong. I'm very unhappy with their cheating at the end of the season, and I'm very soured on the Panthers. However, when it comes time to State of Origin, Panthers back line in our team, I'm going to be their number one fan.
And that's why you hope I'm wrong, is that why?
I'll be cheering on that Panthers back line in our Origin side so that they can beat Queensland.
Now, don't get me wrong here. The thing with these teams is you can cherry pick the best players out of them and stick them into the New South Wales team, and all of a sudden you get ego-driven players and throw them into State of Origin arena, and they're going to switch on. I think they're going to struggle as a team, but they'll obviously win the State of Origin 3-0, so don't worry yourself too much about that. We're good for that.
Oh, man, you're just Colin Murphy on so many things tonight. It's crazy.
Well, he can't sting us every year, can he? Like, it can't always happen. Surely the parrot curse has got to be lifted. So I am going Parramatta is going to win the grand final. This is our year. I think Storm's going to come seventh or eighth, maybe ninth.
Panthers. That's the Tigers. That's the Tigers spot, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do much better. I think the Roosters will be good. They're always pretty good. They're a very professional unit. I don't know. The year of the eel. I'm quietly confident.
Well, as I mentioned on a previous podcast, I live in Gladstone in central Queensland, and I drove 5 hours up to Mackay to see the Roosters roll us 28-0 at BB Prince Stadium, and then 5 hours home in the car, of course. And this year I'm going down to Magic Round once again, and we're playing the Roosters on the Sunday. So it's not, although it's not quite 5 hours this time because I'm actually going to be flying down, but I'm still making a trek, and last year is still lingering in the back of my mind that the last time I travelled, we lost to the Roosters, and I'm travelling once again, and hopefully history won't repeat itself.
You know, whenever, even when we start strong and we're playing, you know, up the top four, we always seem to fall away in the middle of the year around Magic Round. Like, you know, there's no way in hell I'd be buying tickets for Magic Round.
It's a great weekend. Yeah, but it's not just that. It's the entire weekend, and I'm going down there with mates, and we're going to get on the piss. Like, you know, it's going to be awesome.
I'm too old for that shit now, my friend. I'm just... I've had enough of it. This is what I was saying to you before. I was like, I'm quite comfortable now just sitting in front of the TV. And I used to go to all, you know, the games all the time. And I went to State of Origin and I sat there and watched the big screen the whole game. I couldn't see a bloody thing. And I was just like, man, I left the game thinking, I feel like I didn't get to watch the game. And I was at the game. You sit there watching on the big screen. And it's funny because whenever you watch a broadcast of people at the game and the camera is on their face, they know they're on camera. How come they know they're on camera? Because they're sitting there watching the big screen. So, you know, it's like going to the movies. So you're just basically going to see, you know, a football game on a big screen with a whole heap of fans, you know, cheering along. So too old for that anymore, my friend. I just stay at home. And you know what? The whole COVID thing is really... I'm just like, you know, just stay at home and I can just do everything I want from home. The coverage of every sporting event is so much better than actually being there. I've completely flipped on it.
I share your sentiment with a lot of events. I think pay-per-views are far superior to actually going to watch a fight or anything like that. However, the way that Suncorp is described is that there isn't a bad seat in the joint is so true. It's such a great stadium. And when you're at Suncorp, you don't find yourself watching the screen as much. Yeah. It's an amazing ground.
They have said that about Paris Stadium as well. And I'm just going to keep referring to it as Paris Stadium, even though it's Bankwest, Com, whatever. They did say there's no bad seats at Paris Stadium. And first thing on Facebook, someone posted a picture of them and their seats for the season. And they were stuck behind a big cement railing that could only see half the field. But that being said, I was there at the opening game against the Tigers, and we got last minute tickets because I was just I don't care where we are, I just want to be in there for the first game. So we're about, you know, three quarters of the way up, and it was brilliant. You could see everything. It really was fantastic. But you felt a little bit dizzy walking up to your seats. You're like, I feel like I'm just going straight up here. But then when you sit down, you're just looking down on everything. So they did win me over at Paris Stadium. So if it's like that for State of Origin up in Queensland, then fair enough. But when I watched it, I think it was at Sydney Football Stadium. No, it was horrible. It just wasn't good.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the beer prices at Suncorp Stadium. It's basically, I think it's just under, I think it's like $8.95. for a super crisp, and obviously they don't sell full strength.
Why don't you tell your story about all your beers you had at Mackay Stadium when?
I'm still angry about that. They ran out of beer. They ran out of beer. I was drinking Great Northerns. I'm happy as Larry. Again, I've driven 5 hours, and I'm literally there not only to support the Eels, but to get on the piss with Jono and his mates up there.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for a big night, you know. Yeah. And we all get tooled up. We all get tooled up with like two Great Northerns each. All right, cool. We're sitting there. Then Jono went to the bar, came back. I went to the bar, and suddenly it's like there was one drink in the fridge, and I was like fourth in line, and all the blokes were all looking at each other. And I'm just like, I'm not going to get a drink here. I'm not going to get a drink. This is ridiculous. So I went back, and Jono went to a different bar, and he came back with pure blondes. So now I'm drinking pure blondes. And then suddenly the entire stadium's out of alcohol for the second half. Yeah. And it was terrible.
And we were getting stitched up as well on the scoreboard. Yeah. So it was like lose, lose. And Did you have first shout? Like, did someone start drinking freely?
I honestly don't remember. It was less about that. It was more of, are you kidding me? I've got to sit here for the second half and there's no beers.
You say it's less about that, but there's always that one guy who tries to be last in line of shouting just so that he knows that eventually come the end of the night, you know, he might be able to sneak away with a free round.
That sort of did happen because we went down to Harrop Park. It's like a big RSL. And I shouted, Jono shouted, and it was this other guy's shout. And suddenly he was like sort of dithering. And then Jono went, oh, look, I'll just go and get him. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I was really drunk. And I'm like, hold on, what's going on here, mate? Come on, you know, because this guy was in the army as well. And I'm like, what are you doing, mate? You're getting jack on your mates. Go and get us a drink. And so there was a little bit of that at the end. But
it's like, man, musical, it's so chairs annoying. And you're just waiting for the music to stop and, you know, the night's over.
Yeah.
You're however, just slowly however. Creeping along the bar like, maybe if they turn on the lights and, you know, I'll get away with it.
Credit to Mackay, though, because when I went back for the Eels versus Panthers, they had rectified that situation. So we were by the end of it, we were just a mess. It was,
and that's all you... It's all you ask for, really, isn't it, that they rectify the situation? It's like, all right, you know. And so, you know, I don't know how many games they're going to be playing up there. It's really, like, I don't think they're scheduled to play anything. And if you're looking at the draw...
I know that the Eels are playing the Broncos, I believe, in August, but I don't think I'm going to get down for that one. I'm definitely going down for Magic Round, and it's not going to be like last year, obviously, with the game up here and I got to see the Eels five times. That's not going to happen this year.
If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out.
So, yeah, looking at the draw, all the games are back to normal, it looks like. They're not taking into consideration COVID at all. But I guess Queensland's got just as many numbers as New South Wales at the moment, haven't they? So the whole point of having it up there was it was supposed to be COVID-free zone. So... I don't know what we're going to do. Like I said before, as soon as the players start getting struck down with it, it seems to me, though, I mean, the people that I know that have got it, they seem to be out of action for only a couple of days and then they're back to work. So I guess that's just going to be the way of the future. So it's not really going to be a problem until some of the big name players start going down. Like, you know, if Tommy Turbo goes down a day before a Manly game or something and all of a sudden... put a bet on Manly to win, and then it becomes a problem. As soon as it starts actually affecting you financially, then we've got a problem, I guess.
We could see a return to zero crowds or half crowds. That could be on the horizon.
I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. Just the players themselves, like I know they had the COVID bubble, but how long are you going to keep doing the COVID bubble for? I mean, how long are the players going to be? They're not in isolation now. They're back with their families. They were out at New Year's. They were out at... So, you know, surely... Unless they're going to put them in a bubble, you know, 4 weeks before round one or something. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to know what's going on with it. You can kind of feel like Parramatta just released today a new video for the season launch. I don't think it's their official season launch video, but it could very well be. It gets you so excited. Like, you just see them, all the plays and everything, and it's just like, hang on, it's not that far away, you know? It's only like, what is it, 6 weeks away or so?
However, with the addition of the NRLW, it actually starts sooner. So I'm loving the extra long season.
Yeah, so... 27th of February they start. Mm-hmm. So they actually start. So 26th of February, the trial game. And then 27th of February is the first women's game, which is Dragons versus Titans at midday. So Parramatta is playing the Knights in the first round at 3:40. And that's all on the same day. That's all on the Sunday. You're going to pump them all out. That's a whole day they're doing. One, two. Yeah, so Sunday the 27th of February, they're playing all three games back to back. It's going to be brilliant. There's some good TV there. And the Parramatta Newcastle game is 3:40, so we'll call that the headlining game. So we'll see what we've got at the end of that. It's weird when you only see, like, you see six teams and you're like, okay, six teams sounds all right, but then you realise it's actually only three games a week. So,
it's a very short season, absolutely. However, yeah. It's the point that you made that it's happening on the 27th, so it's just for us. It's just slightly over a month away.
It is. That's exciting.
That's great. That's awesome. We're going to see Parramatta on the field.
Yeah.
Essentially 3 weeks before the actual season begins.
Yeah. And so they have five rounds and then they have a semi-final and a grand final. So that, they have a greatly. I didn't realize that. Sorry. I thought that they were playing longer than that. But, you know, if you only got the six teams, you can't really do that. So round five for them... 26th of March, pretty much the guys have just kicked off a couple of weeks in. Then you got semi-final, grand final. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, I'm predicting then the women will win that quite comfortably. If I'm going to like put Murphy's curse onto all things Parramatta, I might as well include them in it. So Parramatta to win both the women's and the men's. And 2022, what a year.
I am concerned every time you say the words, we're playing St. George, because they're my father's team. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's always the one game we just can't lose. Yeah, you know, because he's just going to give me grief about it.
Yeah. And they've kind of become a little bit of a bogey side for us. So they seem to get very clinical against us. Mm. So they've had a weird playing style the last few years, because Corey Norman is gone there. He's supposed to have added a bit of flash. And Gareth Widdop has retired from there. And Gareth kind of had the straight arrow effect, whereas Corey was all over the place. So I don't know what St. George are doing this year. I don't see them being a big threat to us or to anyone. So, but they are one of those teams. They're like, you know, the big red V. They're like it's one of those teams you put on that outfit and you're expected to uphold a certain standard for the club, even though they're barbecue kind of let them down. And it's a new breed, isn't it? It's a new breed of player. So yeah, interesting times.
They are my pick for the spoon.
I think really?
That house that house party decimated their team.
Did it bring all the new players through? maybe it got through the dead wood.
When you've got all those new players, you need to spend time together training, and so I just think this year will be a development year for them. And yeah, I think they'll very much be in disarray. And yep, they're my prediction for the spoon.
Yeah, I don't know who my prediction for the spoon is. I suppose I should have put some thought in. They always like to throw the Bulldogs in there. I mean, just for shits and giggles. I mean, and it actually paid off last year, so that was good.
Won't pay off this year.
And, well, I don't think so. No, I think... I still don't think Trent Barrett could coach him anywhere, but... We'll see. They've got some good players, obviously, but...
They're going to make something happen on the field. You give Addo Carr the ball, something's going to happen. You know, it's... So I just think if they don't have the coaching behind them, well, at least they're going to have some discipline and some talent on the field. And that means they're not going to come last. That's all I'll say there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to put more thought into who I think's going to get the spoon. One thing I know for sure... It's not going to be Parramatta. That's one thing. That's my guarantee that it's not going to be Parramatta.
Well, next week on episode 6, Bernie is going to tell us who he thinks the spoon is going to go to in the 2022 NRL competition. I have gone on record and said St. George Illawarra. That's who's going to do it. Don't forget, you can always catch me on the Dummy M podcast as well on all major podcasting platforms.
And don't forget that you can join the Parramatters Facebook group. Just do a search for Parramatters and you should get automatically approved, as long as you've had your account for 2 years, I believe. I've set it for, just so we don't get too many trolls. But join the conversation, so everything we talk about on the podcast generally gets brought up in the Parramatters Facebook group. So jump in and say good day.
Have a great week, Bernie. Have a great week, everybody. And of course, click go the Eels, mate.
Click go the Eels, baby.
The Parramatters podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.